The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Inushigak fleet puts a million sockeye on the books in just one day, maybe for the first time ever. And Ugashik is more like you gut punch, says one skipper. I'm Dave Bettinger. It's Tuesday, June 27th. Thanks for joining us tonight. Coming up, Curry Cunningham gives some analysis of the run so far.
Through yesterday, June 26th, we've seen 6 million fish as catch and escapement. For comparison purposes, the average for yesterday's date since the 80s is about 2.4 million fish, so we are out in front.
An update from tonight's opener in Naknek, and Tim Sands talks about his plan to give a little break in the action, even though escapement has been met.
By taking a little break on the front of the flood, we kind of get rid of the line fishery, spread the fish throughout the district, and get some fish to the set netters. My estimation is we're more efficient.
That and more tonight on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Programming on KDLG is brought to you by Matrix Marine Incorporated, providing on-site diesel repair services and Volvo Penta support in Bristol Bay, with shops in Naknek at 246-3406 and in Dillingham in the PAF yard at 842-3646.
First, a summary of your Bristol Bay run by the numbers. The total harvest on Monday, bay-wide, was 1.2 million fish, most of that coming from the west side. That brings your cumulative catch this season now to 4 million sockeye. Total escapement yesterday was 90,000. Total cumulative escapement, almost 2 million fish, and that's pushed the total Bristol Bay run now to 6 million out of a forecast, preseason forecast of 41.5. Breaking that down by district, Ugashik no catch reported Monday. Total season catch, 138,000 sockeye. In-river estimate of 10,000 fish counted as escapement. Total run to the Ugashik district right now, 148,300 sockeye. Igigik district posted 182,000 sockeye as harvest Monday. Cumulative there, 1.4 million. Igigik River escapement was counted at 23,000 fish yesterday, cumulative 189,000, plus a 30,000 estimate of fish in the river. Total run right now to the Igigik district posted at 1.6 million fish. Naknek-Quijek had no fishing time yesterday. Nets are out in the water tonight. Yesterday's tally of 36,000 fish total on the season for that district. Not a lot of escapement counted yesterday. Those fish seem to have shown up this morning. The Naknek River escapement for Monday, just 738 sockeye, bringing the season total close to 20,000. Quijack River escapement was 200 fish, bringing the season total to 1,500. Again, through yesterday, before any fishing time or escapement that will be posted today, the total run to the Naknek-Quijack district was still under 60,000 sockeye. The west side is going gangbusters here. Inushigak district harvest on Monday, 1,050,000 sockeye, bringing the season total now to 2.4 million. Looking at escapement from the Inushigak district here, Inushigak River escapement, 12,200 fish past the Portage Creek sonar, bringing the season total to 892,000, just a few fish shy of the upper end of the Inushigak escapement goal range. Wood River counted 33,500 sockeye Monday, season total 786,000. The Angushik River, just its third day counting, posting 20,172 fish. Season total for the Angushik now close to 50,000. And a small Togiak fleet landed 5,700 sockeye on Monday. Season total just under 10,000. Still no counting projects up and running on the Togiak River yet. Total run to the district then is 10,000. Again, the total run stands at 6 million fish so far this season. Average sockeye per drift delivery. Ugashik didn't fish. Igigik 461 on Monday. Naknakwijek didn't fish. Nushigak posting 1,008. And Togiak 105. Looking at the allocation split for those that did fish yesterday, Igigik 86.4% on the season to the drift and set 13.6% of the harvest. Nushigak broken out this way. Nushigak drift 77.2%. Nushigak set 16.2%. Igushik set 2.4% of the harvest and unspecified recorded as 4.3. We'll break down those numbers further with you with the managers later this week. Taking a look now at the vessel registrations by district. Ugashik right now permits 178, expecting to climb to 189 in 48 hours. Those permits are on 131 vessels, climbing to 138 in 48 hours, 47 D boats registered in Ugashik as of 9 a.m. this morning. Igigik permits 510 registered, dropping by a few in 48 hours. That's on 395 vessels, dropping by two in 2 days. Right now, 115 D boats in Igigik. Naknakwijek, as of 9 a.m., had 183 permits dropped, climbing quickly in 48 hours with news of the opener, at least to 215. That's on 162 vessels, 21 D boats. To start the day this morning in the Nushigak, there were 629 permits registered. That was still expected to climb to 635 in 48 hours. Fishing on 490 drift boats, climbing to 494, and that's 139 D boats. Togiak, 34 permits on 34 vessels. No changes noted this morning. That's your daily run summary by the numbers here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Thanks for keeping tuned on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report here on KDLG, supported by listeners like you. Stay in touch with us at fish@kdlg.org. We also appreciate those phone calls and even text messages letting us know how things are going. Well, Travis Ellison saw something this morning that triggered a 9 a.m. announcement for fishing time that started this afternoon in the Naknakwijek District. Subsistence fishermen found their nets unexpectedly full of fish earlier today. Among them was Pharrell DeSoto, who picked out 117 reds.
Well, last night there was a southeast wind, which is kind of unusual for a good fish tide. And at the ebb, we got about 30 fish. And overnight, without the fishermen out there fishing, we were able to get probably about 1,000 pounds today.
DeSoto was speaking with KDLG's Caitlin Tan a little bit earlier this afternoon. The commercial set netters in Naknakwijek stretched out their nets at 3:30 p.m. About an hour later, we caught up with Spirit Anguson, whose family is fishing a site not far down from the Peter Pan cannery. Describe for the listeners, what's the latest there in Naknek? Is your commercial season starting?
Yeah, it was the first day out. It was kind of slow, but while we were putting out the net, a couple fish were coming in, even when it wasn't even all the way out yet. We got probably about 15 fish the first 15 minutes or so, or that the whole ordeal.
Well, that's always exciting to see those corks jumping a little bit for the first time. What do you think prompted the opener? Seems like Travis saw some subsistence catches and some test fish. Do you think there's a push of fish moving in?
Well, I'm not sure yet. Maybe when I go out to check the net again, this opener, we'll find out. Hopefully get a big rush of fish like Nushigak did.
Yeah, maybe more.
Yeah, hopefully. That'd be great.
All right, Spirit Anguson speaking to us from Naknek Set Knitting Beach, just down from the Peter Pan Cannery, about an hour in tonight's six-hour opener. Spirit, we wish you and your family the best tonight and this season. Thanks for touching base.
Okay, thank you.
Last night, we told you how well the West Side Fleet was reporting itself to be doing, and sure enough, the numbers back them up. Tim Sands tallied the count this morning.
Since I've been here, the single-day sockeye harvest has never exceeded a million fish until yesterday. Yesterday, our reported catch is 1,050,000 sockeye. That doesn't include chum salmon, which means we're well over a million harvest. I talked to Jeff Scrady, and he recalls once in 1981 breaking the million fish harvest. And I don't know if that was sockeye or just fish, but pretty excited down here to see such a big harvest.
That may not be the biggest day of the year. It still looks like, based on Port Mulder, there might be a lot more fish on the way. There still could be a peak.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. I'm very much curious to see what we see from those offshore Station 12 and Station 14 catches from the 22nd, which would be here around the 29th. So I'm waiting with bated breath, as it were.
Sands says he will not be waiving the transfer times until the Nushigak, Wood, and Igushik have reached the midpoint of their escapements. And for the Igushik, at least, that could be still some time, even though it is off to a quick start. Sands also says he's not likely to turn the fleet completely loose from here on out, and explained his reasoning why.
We went to wide open because of the weather, basically. And when it's really windy out, we know that there's a lot people drop out of the fishing. They're not as aggressive. We don't tend to see the line fishery that we would see if it were flat calm out. So we're still getting fish spread throughout the district, even though we're wide open. But when it's flat out, it does turn into a line fishery, and the folks that don't want to fish down to line tend to quit and get frustrated. And the set nets get a lot less fish. So by taking a little break on the front of the flood, we kind of get rid of the line fishery, spread the fish throughout the district, and get some fish to the set netters. So my estimation is we're more efficient. We actually have a higher exploitation rate when we're fishing 18 hours a day or so versus 24/7.
The other concern in the district right now are those Nushigak kings. Count yesterday was 1,100, bringing the season total to 20,782 past the Portage Creek sonar. Allow me to share an email from Jeff Fender, who manages the King Camp on the Nushigak for Alaska Sportsman's Bear Trail Lodge. Jeff wrote in the other day to say he's just disappointed that the King Run has not appeared the way it normally does or should have. Quoting here, "I'm even more disappointed that our biologists feel we've used all of their tools to protect the kings. I've guided this river for the past 23 seasons and have seen ups and downs. This year we are so far behind the count without help from either our biologist or our comm fishermen. I don't believe the river will even reach its minimum escapement goals." Fender writes, "I know there are management plans in place, but maybe it should be our biologists who do what is right and in the best interest of the river. I would think on a surplus sockeye season we seem to be on, we should allow every other tide to enter the river without net pressure. Next year I will try to submit a proposal that is to base on the first EO issued that comm fishermen step down their opportunity in half, just as sport fishermen are being asked to do this year. By having commercial leave one tide each day, we should get more kings into the river." He says, "Maybe selfish of me as a sports guy, but this river has historically been the largest return of king Chinook salmon and therefore should be managed as such like no other." Again, that email in from Jeff Fender at Alaska's Sportsman's Bear Trail Lodge, King Camp Manager on the Nooshigak. I did speak with him today, and he has spoken this season with Tim Sands. Sands thinks that the kings are out there in the district and they will still get by and get up that river, he says, when they're ready.
You know, we've fished this way in the past and still been able to pass kings. Right now, we're at king harvest of 16,000. And I would like to think that we probably catch less than 50% of what's out there. So we should be passing kings. I'm very hopeful that the king count picks up today. There was a bump in subsistence catches on Sunday, and it would take till today for that to be seen up at the sonar. And with this weather we've had, I would like to think that there was definitely some push through on kings, and we should see a bump upriver.
That's Tim Sands, the area management biologist for the west side of Bristol Bay. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Dr. Curry Cunningham is part of the FRI team based in Aleknagik through the season. They closely monitor the Bristol Bay sockeye run. He's also a regular guest on this program and joined us earlier for some analysis. Always good to talk to you here on this program. We appreciate you making time.
My pleasure.
So we've got a little bit more data to work with here, but I think we would be remiss not to jump in on the west side. The Nooshigak just going gangbusters here. And what do you read into this? Do you have a theory on if we're big or early or both?
Well, it's certainly been a strong start to the season on the west side here and Baywide more generally. Through yesterday, June 26, we've seen 6 million fish as catch and escapement. You know, for comparison purposes, the average for yesterday's date since the 80s is about 2.4 million fish. So we are out in front, both in terms of the average and what we would expect to have seen this far in the season, given the preseason forecast.
As you look at what's coming at Port Mulder, I don't know, are you able to read much out of the data you've seen come from there and maybe sharpen up any inshore timing yet this season?
Well, certainly. One of the things we're looking at in terms of Port Mulder test fishery catches right now is a comparison between 2 years, which also saw early starts at this point in the season, and those are 1993 and 2013. So in 1993, we saw another year which had a strong start and turned out to be a total run size of about 55 million fish. 2013, on the other hand, also saw a strong start in terms of inshore catch and escapement, but only ended up at about 26 million fish in one of the earliest runs we'd seen on record. But in terms of Port Mueller test fishery catches, 2013 saw their highest indices on about June 21st, and catches out there began to tail off after that point, much earlier than the usual peak in Port Mueller catches, about June 28th. This is contrast with what we saw in 1993, which had Port Mueller catches increasing through basically the end of June and higher average catches throughout the season.
I just get the sense nobody's expecting to see Port Mueller start to drop off yet like it did in 13. Do you see a peak in the numbers, or is it do you anticipate that might be a few days from now?
Not yet. And what we're hoping to see is those catches out there continue to maintain high or continue to build in the coming days. That's going to be a good sign that we're not looking at a situation like 2013 with a smaller run size below forecast.
Dr. Rayborn there adding station 14 as often as he can. What do you make of these further offshore fish? Do you have any theories yet?
Well, so right now what we've seen is at the beginning of the season through about the 22nd, catches were centered right around the middle of the transect, stations 4, 6, and 8. And after the 22nd, things really shifted offshore, stations 10, 12, and 14. You know, when we see fish that far off the end of the transect, it makes me think about in-season estimates of run per index, or the number of fish arriving inshore per fish caught out at the Port Mueller transect. And what we have is the potential for a larger portion of the distribution to be beyond the end of the transect where we're not sampling. That could mean higher than average run per index for the season.
I think that's what he indicated either in conversation or by email, is that this might highlight one of the Port Mueller test fishery gaps in data that need to just be understood, if not, sought to fix in the years ahead or something like that. But another question for you along those lines would sort of be, it might be a little early for this, but I know FRI is often more nimble at making adjustments to its forecast than the state does. Is there any talk of an adjustment at least to one of the districts yet?
Despite the lower-than-average catches out of Port Mueller this season in terms of catch per unit effort, one of the things we're seeing is a high proportion of two-ocean fish out there. So about 76% of the fish that are caught out have been caught out there so far are two-ocean. And those fish are smaller than three-ocean fish and are just generally less likely to be caught out in the Port Mueller fishery, in the test fishery. And so as a result, they have higher run per index. This means that our forecasts based on Port Mueller are remaining in line with preseason expectations despite somewhat lower catches out there than we might have expected. At this time, I think the preseason forecast still remains our best source of information. And the way we go about things more generally with our in-season forecast is to look at the performance of the preseason forecast, Port Mueller test fishery catches, and inshore catch and escapement at each point in the season. And through this point, our in-season forecast model still gives about 79% of the weight to the preseason forecast, suggesting it remains your best predictor of run size at this point in the season.
Sure appreciate this update. Dr. Curry Cunningham, along with Chris Boatwright up at University of Washington's FRI camp in Alecknagig. Curry, good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you very much.
And that's just about it for tonight's show. A couple of messages. These mostly coming in from the fleet to pass along. Skipper of the Stevie K on the hook in Dago Creek in Ugashik says, quote, this place is fast transitioning from Ugashik to Ugutwrench. Thanks, Buck. Lang Solberg on the OD2 chiming in a minute ago to say it is slow fishing in the Naknek tonight. Back to the cribbage with the crew, I suspect. Good to hear from you both. Keep in touch with us at fish@kdlg.org. Here's one going out to the fleet. Message to Dirk Middleton at Igigik Test Fish Project. Bradley Russell writes in. He says, jokingly, we believe, I want to know if you're getting food stores in camp. If not, the people in the office are putting your life at risk. You need a high-protein diet for muscle mass and fat, bacon, cheese for hypothermia prevention. If you're not getting that, I'll see if I can get my friends at OSHA and the Coast Guard to have a little chat with the folks in the office. Again, that message to Dirk from your buddy Bradley. fish@kdlg.org is the way to stay in touch, or give us a call at 907-842-5281. Before we go, the marine weather forecast has the port molar numbers not trickling in yet again tonight. We'll have them for you in the AM news. Tonight on Bristol Bay Waters, southeast winds of 15 knots, seas 3. Tomorrow, southeast 15, seas 3. Wednesday night, Bristol Bay, east 15, seas 3. And Thursday, east 15, seas 4. From Port Hyde to Cape Sarachef, tonight, south 20, seas 5. Wednesday, south 15, seas 5. Wednesday night, variable 10, seas 4. And Thursday, variable 10, seas 3. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters, as well as listeners and the fishing fleet. We appreciate your support, and I appreciate the help of the rest of the KDLG news team. I'm Dave Benninger. Good night, good fishing. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.